It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. Britain has just sent another 300 troops to Afghanistan, adding to the 8,000 it already has in that country. It's also pressing reluctant NATO allies to take on a greater role against a resurgent Taliban. British Foreign Minister David Miliband was in Afghanistan just a few weeks ago. He's in New York this week attending UN Security Council meetings. I asked him to assess conditions in Afghanistan.
I think that the security situation is very difficult in Afghanistan. We've lost 5 soldiers in the last week, and I think anyone who visits Kabul or goes down to the south, as I did, can see that this is a very difficult situation. So that's why we emphasize very strongly that we need not just a security response in Afghanistan, but we also need a political response, because we are there to support a democratic Afghan government. And we also need an economic response, because Afghanistan is one of the poorest countries in the world.
Now, when you say political and economic approach, let me start with political. Certainly, there are real questions about the Afghan government and its inability after all these years to expand its reach.
I think that there are real issues of corruption and inefficiency in Afghan governance. But the key to understanding Afghanistan is how it is a myriad of separate tribes and clans. And the key to a successful approach is what I would call a localization approach. We need to make sure that district by district, there is a clean chief of police, there is an appropriate district governor, and that they are supported by an Afghan national security force that is trained to be effective. And what I've seen in Afghanistan is that progress is possible, because people don't want to go back to Taliban rule. But progress is possible if you get that combination of security forces, politics, and the economics.
How do you propose to get the economy going in Afghanistan? Because, as you said, that is key to undermining the cause of the Taliban.
Well, Afghanistan obviously is subject to the same global economic trend as the rest of us. And so when wheat prices, for example, went up, that was a significant boost to the Afghan economy. And it was a significant driver of farmers away from drug production. And we need to ensure that farmers have the support, not least the capital investment, that allows them to make a go of it on the legal and licit side of the economy rather than illegally and illicitly.
And the economic development that you're seeing when you travel around Afghanistan?
It is the 174th poorest country in the world. You can fly across Afghanistan or walk through its markets, and you see an extremely poor country. But I've been to the market in Goreshk, which is about 100 kilometers from the Pakistan border. It is an extremely destitute area. But as the police and the army reestablished local democratic control, the market does come back. And I bought pomegranates in the middle of Goresh market because the entrepreneurs are still there. It does have an economy that can be developed on the basis that I've described.
Britain is taking out its last 4,000 or so troops from Iraq this summer. Prime Minister Gordon Brown has said that some of them will be going to Afghanistan, also said that he's sending in 300 troops rather sooner. How much of a commitment of troops is Britain willing to make in the coming, let's say, year?
The key to our strategy is three things, really. First of all, the biggest source of new troops is going to be Afghan troops. Secondly, security presence only works if it exists alongside a comprehensive plan for politics and for economics. And thirdly, and critically, we want to make sure that the burden is properly shared among all those coalition countries that are helping support the Afghan government. And we are the second largest troop contributor at the moment. We've made no commitments about 2009 yet. This is a coalition effort. The United States is obviously by far the largest contributor, both of security, support, and aid. And I think that it's important that we continue to make the burden-sharing argument. That's something the UK always does.
Speaking to us from New York, British Foreign Minister David Miliband. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you very much.